Y'all excited to be in God's house today? You look like it.
I'm excited.
Yep. We're if you haven't met us before, I'm Pastor Mark Strait. I'm the executive pastor here at the church. But the most important person here is my beautiful wife of 27 years. If you'll give her a big warm welcome.
Not most important, but pretty up there.
To me. So just wanted to tell you how glad we are to have you here and tag it into this series with Pastor Marty called Family Matters. But real quick, we wanted to give you a couple of announcements for the events coming up here in the next little bit.
How many of you know what's happening tonight? Does anybody know? Tonight, if you don't know, tonight is our Fall Fest here at the church from 4 to 7 p.m. It is one of the biggest outreaches that we do all year. And last year we had over 1,000 kids and people come through, and we have, I think, 27 cars that are going to be like decked out for trunk or treat, giving candy, hot dogs, bouncy houses, face painting. You keep naming it, we're probably going to have it, right? So everybody, bring everybody you know. Tell your community. We have it on social media. Share it and just get people here tonight. So I have another announcement, but I have to ask you a question first. How many of you love to pray? Yes? Okay.
That's a trick question.
So I want to see all of you tomorrow night, Monday night prayer, here at church. It is one, I had to stand up for that. Monday night prayer, it's like really important. Monday night prayer is such a wonderful time here. It's something that I've really grown to love, not only for corporate prayer, but for individual prayer. And it's a time I feel like it sets and focuses my week just to take an hour of my day. That's all it is, an hour of my day on Mondays. To say, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm going to sacrifice what I want to go home and do and cook dinner. I'm going to come and pray. So I invite you to come with us tomorrow night. Be here at 6 o'clock to pray with us.
And also just a reminder, too, on November the 9th, Sunday at the 10:45, we have baptisms. And so if you're ready to take that next step, we want to invite you to, you can go ahead and register. It helps us. Obviously, you can always show up on the day of, and we have all the things that you need. But if either that's something you've never done that you need to take a next step in, or maybe you're just in a new season of your life and you want to make a kind of a fresh declaration of that commitment to Jesus, then that's the weekend for you. That's on November 9th. Amen?
Amen.
All right, y'all ready to jump into the Word today? We're just really grateful to be here and be sharing this morning. When Pastor was developing this series, we were talking about one of the things we really wanted to hit, which was on the subject of communication. And since Elaine and I have spoken on that subject before, and since we do talk about that quite a lot with the couples that we counsel and work with, we thought it would be really helpful to have both of us on the platform talking about that from kind of both sides of the coin. Because, you know, sometimes it's helpful to hear the other side, and I think for us, we enjoy doing that, so hopefully that'll help you today. And for us, sometimes when we get, the first time especially that we spoke together, we had to learn, on the subject of communication, we had to work quite a lot, because if you've never communicated with your spouse in front of a bunch of people, how many knows that could be a little bit challenging?
I'll say it's super challenging, especially, because if you think about it, we have two very different personalities, in case you didn't know that, if you don't know us. He's very calm. I'm very not calm, opposite. But it really is taking two different thoughts, and you're trying to converge them into one. And the first time we did it, I was like, no, we need to do this. And then I had to think, you know what? I'm going to let him lead. I'm going to let him set the tone and then fill in where he needs it. And over the years, we have really come to enjoy developing messages together and the content and the banter, and it's really one of our favorite things to do.
Yeah, so we're going to jump right in. So this is in the Family Matters series. We titled this message today, Can We Talk? The question, can we talk? And what we're talking about today is God's design for communication and marriage. If you'd stand with me, we're going to read our text for today. And we're taking it from a chapter that you're all familiar with. It's in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 is where we're going to begin. And I've done a number of weddings recently. I've been quoting this passage a lot. I want you to really kind of dial in with me on what it's saying to us today, and especially one verse I'm going to point out. But verse 4 says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. How many need some help with that sometimes? Just being honest in Jesus' house today. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. And I really want to emphasize verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. And the writer here, Paul's talking really about spiritual maturity, but I don't think it would be disingenuous in the text to apply this to our relationships and our relational maturity together. And so let's pray together as we get started.
Yeah, dear Lord, we just love you and thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. God, I pray you will open our eyes, open our ears, open our heart to receive everything that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You guys can be seated. How many of you like a good marriage joke? Anybody here? All right, I got one for you. A couple got into a big fight and decided to give each other the silent treatment. Anyone here ever done that with your spouse? Don't raise your hands. For 2 days, they didn't speak a word. On the third morning, the husband, who was leaving on a business trip, realized that he needed to make sure he was up by 5 a.m. Not wanting to break the silence, he wrote a note and put it on his wife's side of the bed, and it read, "Please make sure that I'm awake by 5 a.m. for my flight." The next morning, he woke up in a panic. The clock read 9 a.m., and he had missed his flight. Enraged, he shot out of bed, ready to give his wife a piece of his mind, but then saw the note on his pillow that read, "It's 5 a.m., wake up."
So funny. So, I mean, definitely the silent treatment is not one of our topics we're talking about today in communication. But first of all, I want to ask, how many of you have your notebooks today? Pastor J-Dub says note takers are...
History makers.
So we're going to dive in. We just want to invite you guys into this conversation with us today, because really when it comes to communication, it doesn't matter where you are in the world. Everyone has to communicate, right? Whether you're a teenager, a kid, married, not married, and like, communication is involved in every one of our daily lives. And so today we're going to give you some nuggets from things that we've learned in our marriage and in life on communication. We are not certified therapists at all, but we do want to just share things that's worked for us over the years.
And we do have 27 years experience. So
just a little bit.
That is helpful. So let's dive in. According to marriage.com, some of the top reasons for marital breakdown or divorce are infidelity, money issues, lack of communication, constant arguing, unrealistic expectations, lack of intimacy, not being prepared for marriage maybe in the first place. And what I would offer is most, if not all of these, can be directly improved or repaired with better communication. I like to throw this verse in here, Exodus 20:13. It says, from the Ten Commandments, you'll recognize it, "You shall not murder." And what I would offer today is you're killing your marriage if you're not communicating well with each other. Amen?
That's kind of strong. But what we want to talk to you today, three things first off we want to kick off is the why, the how, and the way we communicate with each other.
Yeah, so let's talk about the why of communication. There's a lot of reasons why we can communicate. I want to just talk about the one that we should be primarily motivated by, which is love. We want to be motivated by love toward our spouse. You've heard your heart motive toward your spouse is the most important thing. The motive of marriage is love. The motive of the Bible really is love. The motive of God is love. How many of you know, for God so loved the world that he gave? So our heart towards our spouse should always be one of love that motivates us to generosity towards each other. How many knows that that is not easy? It doesn't happen by itself, right? 1 Corinthians 13 that we just read, the Greek word agape that is used, that love comes from, our word love, is the highest level of love that can be known. It's a selfless love. Say selfless.
Selfless.
It's a love that's passionately committed to the well-being of the other. It's love without conditions. How many knows that we struggle with that as just people on planet Earth? That most of the time our love is conditional. It's like, well, I will love you as long as, or I'll love you until you. And love, let me just say it this way, love is not an emotion. Love is devotion. And so when you look at the different types of love that the Greek language identifies, storge, which is like empathy type love, philios is like a friendship bond, eros is romantic, agape is the God kind of love. It's unconditional. You could say it this way in marriage, you know, when sometimes, especially with Lane and I, because we talk to so many couples, especially younger couples in premarital counseling, how many know that sometimes you don't feel love, right? There are days you wake up and you're not feeling it. Well, love is not a feeling. It's a commitment. It comes from a place of devotion. And that's really what I want to underline here is all of our communication and all the connection really within marriage, we want to come from the right place. Keep in mind, it won't always do that. But that should be our goal. The why of communication, we want to be love. The how of communication, Pastor actually talked quite a bit on this last week, so we're not going to spend much time on it. I would encourage you to go back and listen to last week's message if you haven't, because what he talked about here is the how of communication between husband and wife being love and respect. And so he shared Ephesians 5:33, which says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The primary need for men being respect and honor. The primary need for women being love and security. How many knows that if I want to get what I need, then I've got to give her what she needs? And let me just say it this way too, guys. It's not something that we are going to do by default. I don't respond to the same things that she does and vice versa. So I've got to choose to grow. I've got to choose to do some things at times that I don't want to do because I know that she needs them. So for us, what does that look like? For Elena, what I've learned over our 28 years of relationship is that she likes little texts throughout the day. She likes when I come up behind her when she's doing something in the kitchen and just give her a hug that isn't leading somewhere, right?
That's I mean,
sometimes favorite. She likes the other ones too, but she definitely likes that one.
Maybe.
It's holding her hand right before we go to sleep. We'll grab her hand, and then when my body heat warms up too high, she'll let go of my hand.
Or when he starts twitching, because he twitches really bad in his sleep.
Yeah, I do.
I'm like, I can't go to sleep.
I also occasionally play drums on my chest.
So he has done that before. Woke me up. But one of the things I love that he does, too, is he does the laundry. So he does that all the time at the house. He'll get it started, get it going.
Pro tip, guys.
I mean, he gets like 10 stars for doing that. And I'll walk in there and he's folding the laundry. I'm like, let me help you. He's like, no, I got it. I'm just watching the game. And I'm like, I love you so much in this moment. Because we get a lot of laundry, especially if the more kids you have, the more laundry you have, right? So, but how do I show honor and respect to him? So one of the things that I do for him is I try to just compliment him. I try to build him up and see what he's doing. Watch what he's doing. If he's outside mowing the yard, I'm like, hey, thanks so much for mowing today. The yard looks so great. I appreciate you taking the time to do that. Or when he plays the drums or when he preaches on Sundays, I'm like, man, you did so good today. You look really sexy up there. I love it. And he's like, thank you.
Hey, it does work, guys. I'm just saying.
But I try to build him up because when I build him up, it shows him honor and it shows him respect. So the third thing that we want to talk about is the ways we communicate. So there are four ways that we communicate with those around us and those that we come in contact with. And the first way is verbal communication. So this is how we talk. It's the words that we say. It's the tone. I get in trouble for this all the time, my tone, and how we say things.
By who?
Well, it started with my mother. Let's go to counseling here. No, but my mom used to always say, it's not how you say it that gets you in trouble. It's not what you say that gets you in trouble. It's how you say it that gets you in trouble. So I have to really watch my tone. It's something that I really, really have to watch when I'm talking to him because it is so fast for me to come in with sarcasm or to be a little rude or bite, you know, in my tone. And so it's really something I've had to pray about that God would just help me to not be so tone-ish when I talk.
Well,
it gets me in trouble.
And talking about, just real quick on that, talking about communication, because where we struggled especially early is where a lot of couples tend to struggle because we don't do this well when we start, guys. How many have been married for more than 5 minutes know that's true? But we've had to learn what we respond to. When she would react in a moment emotionally and have that stern kind of shaming tone, that for someone who needs to hear the language of respect and honor, it shuts me down. And then vice versa, I would get defensive and I would put us in the courtroom and try to argue my and so we do the dance, right? Everybody know what the dance is? Never leads us anywhere, and it's not fun. It's not the fun kind of dance, but that's kind of what we're talking about here. Second, we're talking about verbal communication, nonverbal communication. How many know sometimes that can even be even more important? You can say something with a look that's like 8,000 words sometimes, right? It's the facial expressions, body language, hand gestures, et cetera. How many knows when you walk into a room sometimes, for a lot of us, it's real easy to tell, are we having a good day? Are we not having a good day? I had a guy in church one time. His wife asked me to meet with them because he was struggling with his relationships in the church. And he was like, no one wants to be my friend. No one wants to talk to me. I'm threatening leaving the church because I just can't find community here. And she knew the problem, but she wanted me to help. And so I sat down with him, and I'll just call him John for conversation purposes today and protecting his identity. But I said, John, can I be very honest with you? And he was a very straight shooter kind of guy. And he said, sure. I said, when you walk in the front door of the church, you look like you're going to throat punch the first person that comes in your path. You look like you're mad. And I said, I know you and I love you and I pursue you when you get here, but no one else wants to try to scale that wall. And so my encouragement, and his wife was like, amen, amen. And it was causing trouble in their relationship, too, because she never felt like he was approachable because he always looked like he was stone-faced. And he was like, and he told me, too, he's like, well, I don't like small talk. I said, we're going to have a hard time developing relationships, right? And so just be aware that sometimes some of us have to work harder at that. We have to be aware of what's going on in our face. We have to be aware of the people around us. And so often in relationships especially, we self-reject. In other words, we will put that look because we're afraid of being hurt because maybe we've been hurt, and then we're wondering why no one wants to be our friend or no one wants to come into our world because we have this wall up. And so that's kind of the big picture of what, you know, we really want you to take away from that. Just do an inventory. Check on, you know, check yourself and see if that's something that you may need to take some growth steps in.
Yeah, so another form of communication is written communication. This involves texting, emailing, writing letters. If you're old school and you send cards and write letters, nowadays it's more texting and emailing. You just have to be really, really careful. I know sometimes when you get upset or you get angry, you just want to get those thumbs going fast and on that and send that message. So many times I've had to just, I'll type it out and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't say that. Delete, 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 delete. And then go back and try, okay, like how would God write this? Like what is a better way to communicate what I'm saying that's not going to be so hurtful or so offensive to whoever I'm sending the message to? Same thing with emails. Like if you're in a company or you're somewhere and you're wanting to send that email to someone, just be careful with how you're wording things. Our goal is love. Our goal is to help and to heal, not to break down and to destroy with the words that we say or write or type or text.
And Elena's really good at this one. Matter of fact, when I took my trip to Pakistan earlier this year, I had a card for every day that I was gone. And I wish I was that thoughtful, but it really means something. And when you take the time, especially in this day and age when we kind of communicate digitally most of the time, to take the time to sit down and write something out by hand says something a little different. So we've got verbal, nonverbal, written, and finally physical. And this is one that, especially within the relationship of marriage, it's so important, but it's different for all of us. And so it's important to be aware of what our spouse's needs are. Elena is very much a touchy person. She likes
give me all the hugs.
All the touch.
Love it.
But sometimes you're going to, you know, in marriage, you're going to have, you know, a spouse on one side or the other that maybe they've gone through abuse in prior relationships or there are other things that contribute to that. Or maybe just in general, they're just not a touchy-feely person. Hopefully within your marital relationship, there is physical touch, but you may have to learn from your spouse where they need that, when they need that, etc. It is super important, but it's very unique to every couple. So just something to be aware of.
We went to a marriage seminar one time, and they talked about, within the marriage, the power of a hug. And they said, you know, sometimes your spouse just needs a hug. They don't need you to solve their problems. They don't need you to try to fix anything. They just need you to hold them and to hug them. And there is really scientific evidence about the power of what a hug can do, because it actually releases oxytocin, serotonin, and dopamine in the brain, and it helps to make you happier and calmer. It helps anxiety to go away. It reduces stress and anxiety. And so so we started doing that. When he would come home from work, if I would have a stressful day, I'm like, I just need you to hug me. And so he would hug, and we would count out for about 20 seconds. And when we got done, I'm like, I feel so much better. Now I can go on with the rest of my evening. And it really does. Like, there's power to it. If you don't like hugs, then start with maybe a 1 second hug. Work your way up to 20 seconds. But I encourage you to give it a try, because it really is powerful. Yeah. But so when we talk about verbal, nonverbal, written, physical, all of these things work together with how we communicate. Now, I want to tell you a story that really, it doesn't necessarily relate to marriage, but it does relate to our life in general when it comes to these forms of communication. So if you follow me on social media, you'll see our daughter recently just applied to get into the radiology program at Kilgore College. And for those of you that don't know, it is really, really hard and competitive to get into this program. Last time there were 95 people that applied, 25 got interviews, and 15 actually got into the program. So it's really, really competitive, and it's hard to get into it. And so she filled out last semester all the stuff. We got it turned in. There's like, you have to have reference letters. You have to have a resume. You have to have job shadowing hours. And it's all on a point system. So she has to get the grades, do the stuff, and it's all based on all these points. And so when she applied this time, she actually got an interview. So we were so excited that she got an interview. So she was going to be in the middle of 12 people judging her. So there's one chair, and she said there were four people, and she had to sit in the middle of them, and they were going to ask her questions. And so we had to coach her on this, because like, when you walk into that room, in the first 10 seconds, they're already judging you by your body language, what you're wearing, what you say. So we were like, when you walk into that room, you hold your shoulders back, you lift your chin up, you make eye contact with them, and you smile. So many times you see people that come in, and they're just like, and what is that showing? You know, not confident, not secure in what they're doing. But if you walk in and you have your shoulders back, like, it is communicating who you are before you even say a word. And then it's also, once she sat down, we were like, okay, now when you sit down and you talk, slow down your speech. Don't talk so fast that they can't understand you. Slow it down. Talk clearly. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. And let them hear and, you know, listen and look at you. And this communicates everything before you even say a word. And good to know. Glad we got the call last week that she actually got into the program. So she starts in January. So I hope our coaching her did a little bit. But it really is, the power of communication can really, really change the direction of your life.
Yeah, so we want to cover just a few types of communication as we kind of round out our time this morning. So take notes if you're taking notes. These are all important. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on each one, but just wanted to cover them with you. The first is basic information. So within our communication as husband and wife, especially, or all of our relationships, but today we're talking a lot about marriage, this is the day-to-day stuff. And this is sometimes the area that we discard or we kind of disregard, because it's the simple things. It's like, what went on today? And for guys especially, this is not something we tend to do well with, because our answers are, well, how was today? Good. You know, how are you feeling? Fine. And what I learned with Elena, because this was us when we first started, what I learned with her is, if I would just offer her like a nugget from the day, just, hey, you know, that meeting that I had, it was a little stressful, but it ended up great. You know, and whatever little nugget that I could do, what it did, it's a connection point. Because she just wanted to be included. She wanted to have a part of the day. And it wasn't that she was trying to interrogate me, right? But it was that she just wanted to be a part. And once I recognized that and we talked about that together, it made a huge difference in our relationship. So don't disregard basic information. It's necessary, but it can be really huge in providing connecting points for you and your spouse.
Yeah, the second top is conflict resolution. So this is a huge topic. When Mark and I do premarital counseling, two of the biggest topics is conflict resolution and communication. We spend a whole session on each one of those separately, so it's kind of hard to get all this into 10 minutes. But all marriages have conflict. Like, when you're married or you're in a relationship, you will go through some form of conflict. And you're going to have to learn how to deal with anger when it arises and how you argue and how you disagree and how you navigate that. Proverbs 21:23 says, watch your words. Be careful what you say. And you'll be surprised. I like that the Bible says you're going to be surprised how few troubles you'll have. So a few things like for Mark and I, when it came to conflict resolution that we had to learn early on, we did this so wrong, but we finally learned, I got smart. But one of the things that we said in our marriage is that we are not going to scream or yell at each other when we get in an argument. Because honestly, screaming and yelling at each other, it does nothing for the argument. It does nothing for what your end goal is.
Well, there's a couple of quotes I heard that I think are helpful here. One is from kind of Mr. Marriage, Jimmy Evans, Marriage Today. But he said, an argument never rises above the first few minutes. And if we start high, emotional, coming in hot, it almost never is going to go anywhere good from there. Another awesome quote that I heard that I wanted to share with you this morning is, don't raise your voice, raise the quality of the argument. And so if we'll stop and pause and think about what I'm trying to communicate, that intentionality will produce good fruit. If we just give in to our emotions, how many knows that it can go anywhere, and usually not in a good place, right? Anybody else had that experience besides us? Yeah. Okay.
There was one day when Mark and I were early on in our marriage, and we were arguing, and I was high with the tone, high with the sarcasm, and I was really kind of letting him have it. And he literally looked at me, and he stopped me and said, babe, when you talk to me that way, I literally cannot hear one word you're saying. Like, my brain shuts down. Everything shuts down. I cannot hear what you're saying. And it kind of shut me up for a minute because I thought, oh, goodness, how am I going to communicate now? What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? But I was really proud of him because he actually put words to his emotions, which I don't know if all the other guys are in this room is like this, but sometimes it's hard for him to put words to his emotions. So I was really proud of him for being open and honest. And then the other thing that I learned that I had to do is I had to stop and pray before I spoke. This was very challenging. Because when I get mad, I just want to say the first thing that comes out of my mouth when it enters my brain, it is coming out of my mouth. There was no filter between here and here. So I really had to ask God, help me to think about what I'm going to say before it comes out of my mouth. Because as I began praying about this, like, okay, God, how can I talk to him so he can hear me? What can I do that's going to help him? And really, honestly, I heard God say to me so sweetly, but he said, why would you want to hurt him with your words? In this moment, you have the power to heal or to hurt. And which one are you going to choose? And I just thought, wow, I want to heal. I don't want our marriage to be hurt, and I don't want it to be broken. I want it to be healed. And I knew I had the power to control that, but how I handled how we argued. And so the next time that we got in an argument, I mean, there are different things that you can do when it comes to arguing, but sometimes you have to say, hey, wait a minute, I just need to stop and I need to step away for a second. I need to gather my thoughts. I need to pray about what's going on. Some things he would do that would maybe hurt my feelings or upset me, I didn't even let him know in the moment. I would go pray about it, and then I would be, okay, hey, remember 2 days ago when you said or did this? Like, it really kind of hurt my feelings. Can we talk about it? And you know what his response was?
Sure.
Sure. Let's talk about it. And we had this grown-up conversation without screaming or yelling.
It was a miracle.
And it was a miracle. Like, it really became an art form. Like, how you argue really can change the direction of your marriage and the relationships you have with other people.
And just to underline that point, the reason I didn't have language for it then, but the reason why I couldn't hear her when she was getting kind of aggressive and kind of emotional in those moments was because it was the language of disrespect. Right. So women, if you want to get the point across, then it's got to be in a way that he can hear you. And conversely, yeah. I had to learn how to speak in a loving way to her about what I need to communicate, because when we figured that out, it was like the key to the kingdom. We learned that if I'll adjust my communication so she knows that I'm for her, that I love her, and that I'm connected to her, then you reap what you sow. And on the other side of that, it'll change the dynamic of where we were stuck for a very long time. Where am I at?
Ephesians 4:29.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Thank you. See, that's why I have her up here. Quick, funny anecdote. During our preparation, we have color coding that tells us kind of where our different sections are. And during our going through it, I was having trouble because I'm colorblind, y'all.
So all of my section was pink. So I knew if I'm
and mine was blue, but I couldn't tell the difference. And so we had to change the colors.
He's like, where are you speaking at? I can't see it. I was like, oh, yeah, that's why my stuff was green originally. Let's go back.
Communication. Very, very helpful.
Communication.
Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And when we apply this to marriage, if my motive toward my spouse is to build up and to support and not to tear down, then it drastically changes the trajectory of my relationship, our communication. When it comes to arguing and fighting with our spouse, we have to learn that we should only fight with the true enemy. That's the enemy of our soul. And so when we begin a conflict or an argument, if we'll place ourselves on both on the same side and put him on the opposite side, it will shift the entire dynamic of that, because the goal is on the other side to win together instead for one of us to win. Because how many knows when one of us wins, we both lose? Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And what Elaine and I learned is when we invited the Holy Spirit to be a part of that with us, we became unbreakable. When it was just she and I against each other, we were very breakable.
Yeah, so the third type of communication is connection. And so what this is in a healthy relationship is just a way to connect with one another. This comes through intentional listening. I said intentional. We have to intentionally listen. Make eye contact, and by truly hearing their heart and not just the words that they're saying. So one of the exercises that we do when we do premarital counseling is we ask the couple to write down three things that maybe they need to work on in their relationship. And so one of them will say, well, I really feel like, say, you're not listening to me. Well, a lot of times when we are having a discussion with someone, you're already thinking about the next thing that you're going to say. You're not hearing what they're already saying. You're already thinking, how am I going to respond? And so we need to be intentionally listening. And so they'll say, hey, I don't feel like you're listening. So the spouse will be like, okay, so what you're saying is I'm not listening, and then we need to work on this. And then the other spouse would say, yes, and this is how we can work on this. But this is just intentionally making eye contact, hearing what they're saying before you form a response.
It's called active listening, yeah. and it's a discipline, because it's not what we normally do as humans.
Yeah.
Because our tendency is, once I start hearing the incoming, to start formulating my rebuttal.
Yeah.
And what that requires of you is to stop trying to formulate your response and listen to hear what's being said. Because sometimes the words aren't exactly what's trying to be communicated, but that's the best that can be given in the moment. And so if we'll make that a discipline, it's another way that we can really improve our communication with our spouse. So the next type is called personal revelation. And really quickly, because this is also something that pastors touched on, it's critically important because it involves sharing needs and responsibilities with your spouse. So often these days, the tendency is for men and women in marriage to divide responsibilities, and so there's no shared partnership. There's no teamwork. It's like, well, I'll do that, you do this, and we stay on our opposite sides, which further exaggerates the problem of the lack of connection, the lack of communication. What I want to emphasize here is men are emotionally modest. In other words, we have to feel very safe emotionally to be able to share. We are physically immodest, which means we don't care if the door's locked at night or if the kids are in bed yet. But that's just the opposite for women, right? Women are emotionally immodest, meaning they'll tell a whole room full of women what's going on with them, right? Guys will never do that, right? However, they're physically modest, which means they want the door locked, the lights out. They want to double check and triple check to make sure the kids are asleep, right? And so what I would highlight for you guys in this area, husbands, we are charged with protecting our wives physically. Wives, you're charged with protecting us emotionally. If we'll make each other safe in those ways, it increases connection, it increases and improves communication. And so husbands, we have to be more emotional than we feel. Wives, you have to be more sexual than you feel. And if we'll learn to come to each other with those different, very different approaches, then it'll drastically transform the quality of our relationship. It's just something that it's a discipline, but it's worth it, right?
And the fifth type is intimate connection and communication. So these are like expressions of love, words of affirmation, whispers of I love you. These are statements that no one else will or should say to your spouse but you. but they bind your hearts together and they build you up. Pastor Marty, I know we've said this multiple times. He's done such a fantastic job with this series when it comes to family matters. And he spoke on this last week and the week before that, and he did such a great job. So I encourage you that if you're struggling with intimate communication, like, go back and listen to these messages and hear what he is saying as he's talking about it. Also, I want to give you a resource that is really a great resource when it comes to intimate communication in your relationship is Dave and Ashley Willis. They are on YouTube, so you can get on YouTube, look up Dave and Ashley Willis. They have the Naked Marriage podcast, and they also now have started, that was their original, but now they have Marriage on the Line podcast. And let me just tell you, there is no topic off, they don't talk about. Like, there is nothing off limits. Some of them, you're like, I don't know if I want to push play on that one. But I love that because it really is communication. It's really sermons and messages that we need to really hear about intimate communication with one another. So I encourage you to go look them up and listen to some of the messages they have on that.
Yeah, and I looked at it last night. The Marriage on the Line podcast, they have a series they're in right now, and the very first one in the series is about communication. It's really good, so I would encourage you to check that out. So the last type of communication we're going to cover today as we finish up is called partnership. And this kind of alluded to it a bit earlier, but this is an area that marriages tend to struggle with because of the division that naturally happens through life, through having kids, through all the things. But when we prioritize partnership, it becomes teamwork. And whether it's our responsibilities, whether it's our kids, whether it's our finances, communicating about all of these shared things is vital to a healthy marriage. This includes talking about any number of things, money, parenting, jobs, frustrations, stresses, and it's central to a healthy marriage. Elaine and I share a lot of responsibilities around the house. So in our world, this can be anything on any given day. I do a lot of laundry. It's just something that, I don't know, just I watched my dad do it growing up, and I'd offer you this too. My dad not only worked full-time in the oil field when we were growing up, but he also was a full-time pastor. Yet my dad still helped mom clean the house. He still helped. I can see it to this day. Dad's folding laundry in the living room. It wasn't above him.
He still does the dishes. We go over for a family dinner. He's doing the dishes.
Yeah. And so often, in an unhealthy marriage, especially for us guys, and I'm talking to us guys real quick here, just because you work outside the home and she may not doesn't disqualify you from being a part of what's happening at home. That's where the partnership happens. And for me, like, I have things that I traditionally do, like taking out the trash, mowing the yard, all the things. But if I forget, she takes care of it, and she doesn't lord it over my head. It's like, hey, or sit the trash in the middle of the aisle, like the aisle out to the garage, and like passive aggressively, right? But it's give and take. It's seeing what needs to be done. It's doing it. And I kind of want to end with this verse and a little bit of instruction on it for all of us. Ephesians 5:22-24 says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." We don't like this verse in church, but it's important that we understand the principle behind it in the context. "For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." Marriage is partnership. It is not dictatorship. Marriage is an earthly representation of what the church's relationship with Christ should be. The word that Paul uses for head in verse 23 is kephale, and it's a military term, but it's not a general or a captain or someone who orders troops from a distance. The connection there is that it's one who goes into the battle before the troops. It's one who is the first one into battle. The word that Paul uses for submit, hupotasso, in verse 22 for submission, means to tend to the needs of, to be supportive of, to heed, to be responsive to. It's not just strict obedience. So just to sum it up, this passage, what it's really getting at is that wives are to tend to the needs of, be supportive of, heed, be responsive to their husbands. And husbands are to selflessly love and go first into battle. It's the same for the church. We are to be supportive of, heed, ultimately Christ. And when we do that in this healthy exchange, Christ selflessly and unconditionally loves us, and he always goes first before us. Amen? Elaine and I had a really pivotal thing happen to us our first real, I think it was our first year of marriage.
First or second year of marriage.
And I think it summarizes kind of this point and kind of finishes well what we're talking about today. So Elaine and I, we had both been pastor's kids. At this time, our parents had already resigned their previous church and were kind of out of ministry for a bit. And we were serving at Elena's mom and dad's church, and we were doing everything. We were helping with worship. We were teaching Sunday school. We were helping with the youth.
There was a need. You filled it.
Yeah. It's a small country church. We did all the things. I was praying one night. I'll never forget it because it was just burned into my memory. We were living in a single-wide trailer at the time, and we had an ugly floral couch. U-G-L-Y, ugly.
But it was a blessing because it was a couch.
Yeah, it was free.
It was free.
But I was praying on that ugly couch that night, and I heard the Holy Spirit just as clear as I could possibly discern say, I've got a new church for you to go to. It's time to move. And I was like, okay. And so the next day, I had the conversation with Lana. I was like, hey, I was praying last night, and the Lord told me that we need to get ready to move to a different church. And she's like, well, you can go.
I'm not leaving my mom and dad's church.
They need us, you know, which they did, all the things. And so here's what I didn't do, guys. I didn't go to her, Elaine, and say, well, God spoke, tough, suck it up, we're leaving, Buttercup.
That wouldn't have gone over very well.
Yeah, that I might not have survived it.
Yeah.
Just saying.
No.
What I did do is go back to the couch the next night. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, I believe I've heard you. But if you want us to go, I need you to speak to Elena in a way that she can hear you. And that experience, it took 3 months.
I might be a little slow, but I get there.
It took 3 months, but there was a day I came home from work, and she met me at the door in tears. And she said, God spoke to me, and he said, we're supposed to go.
Actually, someone gave me a book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, from Aretha.
Yeah, Hagen. From Sister Hagen, and I started reading it. And the moment I started reading it, I was like, I know this is what we got to do.
Yep.
It's going to kill my parents, but I got to do it. But I'm so grateful we did.
Yeah.
Because God brought us to where we are today.
And so. the principle there is, guys, I had heard from the Lord. I knew what I'd heard. But I had to lead. How do I lead? I go to prayer. I don't tell her what to do. I don't try to coerce her into doing it my way. What I have to believe is if God can speak to me, he can speak to her. And that principle, that example, has guided us through our entire marriage. Anytime we've gotten to a sticking point, we've gone back to that time. Because sometimes she's ready to make a move that I'm not ready to make, and vice versa. And it's just a matter of time and discerning. Sometimes God's timing is different. What I've learned is if I'll wait on her feeling, sometimes that'll save me pain. Because maybe I did hear, but maybe I was thinking it was now, and it was supposed to be 6 months from now. Amen? But the unity, and this is what we talk about with our couples all the time, unity is one of the most important components of a healthy marriage. What unity says is that, not that we agree all the time, but that we agree to fight for it together. And sometimes when we disagree, that just means wait a while. Sometimes that means I've got to press in, and I've got to pray, and I've got to hear the voice of the Lord for myself. And so let that encourage you today. Invite the Holy Spirit. If you're struggling in the communication in your marriage, if you're struggling in your marriage relationship, you're not by yourself. We all do. We still do, guys. Elaine and I recently have had hard conversations about just stuff. It's mostly my fault in this instance. But I had to be willing to set my agenda aside and hear what God had to say about it, and also hear what she had to say about it. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Amen? Will you guys stand with us? The Holy Spirit is a critical part of any healthy marriage, healthy relationship. We got to invite him to be a part of it. And before I forget, I just want to make sure I say this and I do not forget this. It's so important. We have a ministry in this church called Kingdom Couples. For several months now, we've been engaging some of these couples in the lives of other couples within our church. And it's been yielding amazing fruit. Matter of fact, there's a testimony in this room. I won't call them out, but they were on the verge of divorce. They had filed for divorce. And by them pressing in for help and getting counsel from one of our couples, from Elaine and I, and a professional counselor, they called off the divorce a couple of weeks ago. That's a miracle. It's possible, though, for all of us. because the Holy Spirit will work. All you have to do is be willing to take a step. And so if you need help, and whether it's just you need some counsel for a season of life that you're navigating that's different, it doesn't always have to be a severe kind of situation. It can be just you need some general guidance, or it can be you're in a really hard place. Just email marriage@pathway.team. Find me. Find one of our kingdom couples if you know who they are. If you're a kingdom couple, why don't you raise your hands real quick? So find one of these folks. If you're too intimidated to come to me, go find one of them and just tell them, hey, I'd like to check into that. I'd like to see what that looks like. Let us minister to you. But we want to take this moment. If you'll bow your heads, we just want to pray over you. I want Elena to pray over our marriages. And I also want to encourage you here in a moment, prayer team, you can go ahead and make your way down at this time. Here in a moment, as we worship, if you need prayer in this area of your life and of your marriage, I want you to come down. Just partner with somebody else with skin on. Let them pray with you and pray over you. And then if you need help, please, please, please reach out for help. Know that we want to help you. We have resources to help you. We'll do anything and everything to help mend any broken areas of your relationship and your communication in your life. Let us partner with you. Amen. Let's pray.
Dear God, we just thank you so much for this opportunity today, God, that we can learn about communication. We can learn the importance of our words. We can learn about what our spouses need from us, and we can learn what we need to give them. God, you are so amazing that you talk to us in such beautiful ways. And God, today I pray that you would soften hearts. God, that you would show revelation to every single person here, God, no matter where they're at in life or what stage they're in, God, we know that your voice can speak so loud in a moment that can change everything for us. And God, we give you everything that we have. We put you as the first, as the head, God. We look to you for guidance. We look to you for direction. We seek your face, God, never seeking anything else but you, you first and always. We love you, God. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for saving us. And thank you for being our very best friend. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. I hope you were encouraged, built up, and strengthened by the Word of God today. I again want to encourage you, go ahead and click subscribe while you're here, and you'll be notified of content as soon as it drops, because we want to encourage you as much as you'll let us. And if you would, comment and share, because we want the people who need the message of Jesus to hear the message of Jesus. And if you're in Longview, Texas, or if you're ever visiting Longview, Texas, we'd love to host you at Pathway Church. So please come see us. Hey, I believe, again, God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and it is good. And we can't wait to see all that God does through your life.